Welcome to High Point Church. My name is Shannon Dickerson, and we hope you enjoy today's message. If you do, please like and share and let us know what you enjoyed most about it.
Well, if you got your Bibles, let's go to Psalm 150, the 150th Psalm, the last Psalm of all the Psalms. And, you know, a lot of times we like to magnify certain ones, and I know we've got our own favorite ones like Psalm 91, Psalm 23, Psalm 34, Psalm 27, but they're all good. Amen. You know, it's kind of like me with like where I like to eat and how I like to eat. You know, I'm not the type of person that likes to go to the same restaurant all the time. I like to spread it out, praise God, and eat from different things. So you've been given 150 psalms that you can spread it out with and really have the Lord minister to your soul, which I believe He's going to do this morning as we bless Him. Psalm 150. Now, this is a psalm that is very full of the praise of God. And as we enter into talking about this morning, I want to give you kind of a little review of what we've been talking about. The Lord put on my heart at some point, you know, a couple of months ago, that we really needed to emphasize praise at our church. And how many of you know every subject's good in their own time and in their own ways, but I believe this is for a purpose. How many of you believe that? That God leads us into certain things, to study certain things, to emphasize certain things, because He's trying to get something to us in our life. And I believe praise definitely provides some really good things in our life. How many of you have seen that work in your life? Amen. Well, we started off talking about how praise is not something that just a certain group of people are called to. It's not just the musicians. It's not just the singers. It is all of us. We've looked at 1 Peter chapter 2 and how it teaches us that we are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, His own special people. And then He tells you why God has made you this way. It's so that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So what does that mean? We're all called to be praisers. We're all called to give God glory. And not just on a part-time basis. Full-time praisers. Amen. We're praising God on Mondays just like we would on Sundays. And so it needs to be the fruit of our lips, something that is very important to us, that we take very seriously. And what we did was we've been kind of comparing it to like a calling into a certain occupation, job, or vocation. That we are all called to be full-time servants of the Lord in praise. And so what we did was we looked at the fact that if we all got this calling and this occupation of praise in our life, well, there must be some salary and benefits that come as a result of that. And we looked at Psalm 103 and found out what those benefits are. And we found out how blessing the Lord with all our soul is what's going to unlock a lot of those things that we've been seeking after in our life. Amen. So this means more than just forgiveness, more than just our salvation. This talks about healing, experiencing the life of God, having Him crown you with favor and loving kindness now in this life. There's a lot of benefits that I think a lot of Christians haven't tapped into from their employment to the Lord in praise because they haven't necessarily done their job well. So that's one of the reasons we're teaching on this. It's so that we would learn what it is and how to apply it better in our lives. And so then what we did in part two of this series was we went over and looked at some New Testament verses that teach us about how you can be a good employee, how you can be a good servant. And we looked at some different ways of what it means to serve in a place of employment well, and it's the same way you would serve the Lord. Amen. How many of you know you show up to work on time? And you give it all your heart. You do things in excellence. Amen. It's not just you clocking in and expecting a paycheck. As a result of that, you do your job well. You do things excellently to where you stand out at your place of employment. Not because you're trying to get recognition, but because it's the right thing to do. Well, it's the same way with praise. We're not called to just be here to observe somebody else doing it. We're called to do it ourselves, amen, to give God all of our heart. And what we're going to start doing this week is learning some ways that your employer has given you job functions of what you're supposed to do. That's what's so awesome about it, is God tells you exactly how He wants it done, amen. And how many of you know, if you go work at a certain place, you don't do things the way you want to do them. You do them the way your employer wants you to do them, or you're probably not going to have a job too long. Well, it's the same way with praise. We got to do it God's way. What blesses Him? What ministers to Him? Because of all the mercy and grace and salvation that He's provided in our life, it's the least we could do to turn around and give God the glory exactly like He wants us to do it. So Psalm 150 is what we're basing this teaching on, and it starts off by saying, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So what are you seeing right here? God likes volume. God likes some demonstrative stuff when it comes to praise. There is a certain way in which God desires these things to come forth in our life. Amen. And so we look through this that we got these different job functions, these different job duties in praising the Lord. And so what I'm going to start doing this week, we were going to do it last week, but the Lord had something different in mind. What we're going to start doing this week is we're going to look at various words that the Bible uses for praise. And what we're going to find is God gives us very specific ways to praise Him. Amen? So the first one we're going to look at this week is probably the most common word for praise in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew. In fact, it was used throughout that psalm that we just read. It is the Hebrew word halal or halal, depending on however you like to pronounce those things. And it is the most common word. In fact, it is used over, I'd say close to 150 times in the Old Testament. That's a lot of times. In fact, in a lot of those times, it's in the book of Psalms. I want to give you a couple of examples of where this is used. In fact, I want to take you to the first time it's used in your Bible. And I think those are significant things. When you see the first time a word is used in the Bible, it's very important. So let's go to Genesis, that scripture in Genesis, Debbie. This is the one where Sarai and Abram wound up in Egypt. Okay, now how many of you know they had a journey of faith? God was speaking to Abram and telling him where to go and different things like that. And they wound up in Egypt. And you know this whole story. This is the one where the Pharaoh found out how beautiful Abram's wife was. And so he took her in, and the Lord backed up Abram even when he lied to cover his tail about his wife. Now, don't let me get on this too long, Lord, but I'm just going to tell you that's something that's really important. It shows me that when you've got covenant with the Lord and when you're following Him by faith, you ain't got to be squeaky clean or perfect for the Lord to back you up. He's still on your side, amen? And He did that even with a guy that saved his own neck and gave his wife away. I think I'd be more apt to get the forgiveness from the Lord if I did that than I would from Shannon. You know, but the fact is, I don't know what Sarai's attitude was, but the fact is, there was something about Sarai, even though she was up in age at this time, which you gotta kind of correlate things with the way things were during that time. A 75-year-old then probably didn't look quite like a 75-year-old today does. There was a little bit of a difference in where we were on this time span, but the fact was, she was a beautiful woman, and I want you to notice what it says here. This is the first time the primary Hebrew word, halal, for praise, is used. It says, so it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman. Say, saw the woman. So they saw her. There was something that stood out. They visibly, with their eyes, observed her, that she was very beautiful. Now notice what happens next. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her. And this is the guy that works close with the guys that work close with Pharaoh. And what did they do? Commended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Now, the word that's used for commended there in my New King James Version is the word halal for praise. Now, let me ask you a question. Does that mean that the princes of Pharaoh saw how beautiful she was and then went to Pharaoh and said, hey, Pharaoh, I praise Sarah. No, we know that's not what happened. Let me give you kind of like a more clear picture of probably what was happening. Pastor Robert is about one of the main people that tracks with me here. He laughs at my jokes before I even get to them. Praise God. In fact, we got a new couple coming to our church, and we were just talking about, hey, they started coming, and I told them, hey, you know, just get to know people, just get to love people. And then I realized I forgot to tell them one other thing that's really important, and laugh at the pastor's jokes. Those are good three things to do to start off with. Praise God. But, no, these guys, the princes went to them, and this is in essence probably what they did. Yo, Pharaoh, have you seen this beautiful woman? This chica is gorgeous, man. She's one hot tamale. You need to see about her, bruh. That's right. Levi is so proud for me to be his dad right now. And somebody's out there hearing this and say, they didn't talk like that back then, Pastor. How would you know? You ain't that old. Amen. No, but you see my point. They didn't go and say, we praise Sarai. What they did was they started describing to Pharaoh just how beautiful this woman was. And what do you see right here? This is the point that you need to see about praise. A really good lesson here. When you see the Lord in His beauty, you're going to praise Him. A lot of times, it really boils down to this. I'm getting into some foundational things of praise today. Okay, but one of the things, it's just real simple. When you find in the Bible, every time somebody saw the Lord, what did they do? They hit the deck. They got down on their knees. They worshiped. They praised. There was none of this casual just sitting back and saying, wow, there's the Lord, there's Elohim. There was none of that. There was a demonstrative action that provoked them to praise Him, worship Him. During that time. In fact, it even had happened that way with other supernatural beings like angels, right? So my point in that is this. When somebody doesn't really praise or worship the Lord real well, the way that we're going to learn and describe it, that's one of the main reasons. It's because they don't see Him. And I'm not talking about seeing Him with your visible eyes, but in your heart, have you come to know Him? Amen. I mean, the Lord told me that one time when I was talking about loving the Lord. I remember reading a book that was about heaven. It was a really awesome book. It was called My Dream of Heaven. Rebecca Ruth Springer, some of y'all maybe have read that book before. It's a really awesome book. And she was taken there and she saw different things and she was describing how much she loved the Lord. Oh, I just love the Lord. And she almost talked about Him like he's like her husband. And I remember reading that and I was like, God, I can't say that I love you like that. And I was like, I want to love you like that. And you know what He said to me? He said, to know me is to love me. You see, the more you come to truly know God, the more you'll fall in love with Him. And I'll add this, the more you'll praise Him. The more you'll give Him glory. There won't be any of these reservations. There won't be this casual que-sera-sera type thing. It will be, man, I am so full, my heart's so full of Him. I'm seeing Him and how good He is and how awesome and wonderful He is. And I've got to do something, so praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Wendell. I can count on you, brother. So you see what I'm saying? So this is the first time praise was used, and it was them talking about how beautiful she was. To him. Now, let's look at another one. Let's go to 2 Samuel and look at another time where this word halal was used. And it's kind of like this. Now, this is the story of David and his son Absalom. How many of you have heard that story before and how Absalom kind of turned on his dad and it was just a bad situation that was going on. But there was something about Absalom that made everybody feel like he could be the one that took over for his dad. And it says it here, and now in all Israel, there was no one who was praised as much as Absalom. For what? His good looks. So you see what I'm saying? It's the same thing that we just saw with Sarai. It was because of how beautiful she was, that she was halaled, that she was praised. And what you're seeing right here with Absalom was, it was his good looks that everybody was going around and praising him. See, what this really teaches us is what praise really is and what it looks like. In fact, I like to tell people this, praise is not just something that we do towards God. Most people praise other people more than they do God. Now, they don't look at it that way because their mindset on what praise is wrong. It's skewed. But when you go around talking about, let me give you an awesome example. When you go to a restaurant on Sunday afternoon and you start telling that waitress what an awesome pastor you have, how great he is and how good looking he is and how he dresses so nice and all this kind of stuff that I'm sure all of y'all go around doing, you know what you're doing? You're praising me. That's praise. Do you see what I'm saying? We should be doing that about the Lord all the time, directly to Him and to others about Him. You following what I'm saying there? I used to get ridiculed when I first became a Christian because my heart got so full of the Lord and how awesome He was that I talked about the Lord all the time. There was nothing else I wanted to talk about. And it just happened, and people would just get all twisted up and say, well, you don't have to talk about the Lord all the time, Trey. I said, I know, but I get to. See, it comes down to what is your heart full of? That's what you talk about. Amen. And how much are you seeing Him in truth? That's what you're going to praise. Amen. So let me give you a definition that I came up with. I went through several resources, and thank you to Don and I, one of our elders, Minton William, another one of our elders. We had a little text chat going on, and they both taught on these very same things that we're talking about today, and we worked together a little bit on it. We were talking about what some of these words were, so thank you guys for your contributions on this. But I want to give you a real good, clear definition in the Hebrew for this word halal. And then we'll go through it and break them down. The word halal literally means this: to be clear, to be clear, to shine, which results in making a show, boasting, raving, to celebrate, look at this now, to be clamorously foolish, or act like a madman. You want me to read that again to you for all you note takers? It means to be clear, to shine, which results in making a show, boasting, raving, to celebrate, but notice these last two, to be clamorously foolish or act like a madman. Now, when I just read this to you, does this sound anything like any praise services you've ever been to? It doesn't to me. It's not really necessarily things I've seen. We were just up in Atlanta for a meeting and so forth, and there was it was pretty live worship. It was pretty good praise. In fact, I thought it was one of the best parts of the meeting, but I didn't necessarily see anybody acting like a madman or acting foolish. But this is God's definition of praise. So again, going back to the job function thing, what should our praise in some ways, look like in our lives? You looking like you're crazy. That's pretty much what this is describing, isn't it? I told y'all this story, but I remember when I'd first gotten saved, and you know this whole thing happened in my life where my heart had become so full, and I was just praising God all the time in just such a demonstrative way. And I was thankful I went to a church that was very free to dance at the front, to run. All the young people would come up front. And let me say this while we're on the subject: you are free to do that at this church. This is not a church where you've got reservations on how you praise the Lord and things like that. We want people at the front. We want people being demonstrative. We want people loving the Lord with all their heart here. So you have that freedom at this church to do what we're talking about right here. And so I remember one time that, this one particular time, there was this deacon that worked at the church, and he knew me personally. And I took off running around the church. And I ran into the lobby. And I got in front of that guy, and I went, "Praise the Lord!" with a little bit more volume than that. And he looked at me, and he goes, "You have done lost your mind." And then quickly my response was, "Yep," and I got the mind of Christ. See, what we're learning right here is what the mind of Christ is concerning praise. Now, I'm like Kenneth Hagin used to say, I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire at all. Now, sometimes if you open things up like this, you can get some weirdness, you can get some craziness, you can have some things happen. But at the same time, I'd rather err in that way of doing too much to where people are looking at me and thinking, oh, that's not right. This is undignified. But kind of sounds to me like an example of the Bible, doesn't it? Doesn't the whole all sound a little bit like what David did? We've talked about this already. When he led the ark back into Jerusalem and he took some of his clothes off. And he started dancing before the Lord with all his might. What does that mean? He was using a whole lot more muscles than just the little bit you got right here. He was dancing. And then people were looking at him and thinking, man, what an undignified thing for a king to do. But his response was, woman, I will become even more undignified than this. It was before the, and that's what he said, it was for the Lord and not for you. And see, that's really what it all boils down to here. Too many people, there are obviously people that will do it to be seen by men. Okay? And you got to guard your heart on that. But more people don't do it because of the fear of man. And that's where it becomes wrong. They're reserved and they're kept back. They don't act clamorously foolish because they're worried about how they're going to look in that. And I'm just telling you, those are the reservations you got to sometimes break through, because it's more important what he thinks than what they think. And so let me encourage everybody in here, we are not judging anybody that gets a little free and does it. You don't want to be that person. Because when Michael did that against David, she had no more children from that point. And what that shows me is you can cut off your fruitfulness for the Lord by judging the way others praise him. Yeah. Amen or oh me. Amen. So that's a really important point. It's kind of like what the Lord's looking for in a lot of ways. I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit. But it's kind of like how your children, when you know, when you had young children, you know, Levi doesn't necessarily do this like he used to. But when he was younger, boy, he was all excited when I got home. And you know, sometimes your kids, you show up, and your kids, they're waiting to see you. And they jump, and they clap their hands, oh, daddy's home. And they do things that are demonstrative, and it blesses you, doesn't it? If you've ever had your children do that for you, right? It's not that they were in perfect rhythm. How they were clapping their hands. It isn't that they were doing thing. They had the best voice. It wasn't that little picture they drew you to tell you how much they loved you was the best piece of artwork that you've ever seen. But their heart for you was what blessed you. And here's my point today. That's that clamorously foolish thing. It's kind of like the kingdom of God being more like for children. I think there's a really good chance that we've grown up too much. I think there's a really good chance that we've matured and we think that mature people only do certain things. I think we might be wrong on that. I think the Lord might actually want us to become more like children when we praise Him. Because that's what you're going to see with a lot of the words we're looking at here. So let's go through this definition real quick and look at some very foundational things of praise. The first thing that I said that halal was it meant to be clear. Now, originally when that was being described, it described a sound being clear. And then it came to be known more as a color being clear. What does that mean? If you get a clear sound or a clear color, what are you describing? Purity. Purity. This reminds me of John chapter 4. Let's put that up, Debbie. John chapter 4. Do you remember the story of the Samaritan woman at the well? And how this woman was approached by Jesus. And she asked a question. You know, she in fact, Jesus was there to actually give her life-giving water. Amen. But like we tend to do, we like to get on the religious side of things. And so she brings up and says, well, the Jews say You got to go worship here. But we worship on this mountain. Settle this debate for me, Lord. Tell me where real worship's to be. And the Lord, in so many words, responds with, you're asking the wrong question. It's not where you worship that's important. It's how you worship. And that's when the Lord goes on to say, but the hour is coming, verse 23, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father, how? In spirit and truth. So it's not in this mountain, it's not in the temple. It's with this kind of heart to do it in spirit and in truth. Now people debate up and down on what these things mean. This is my personal opinion. In spirit means the hour is coming when we can be born again and where we can connect with God who is a spirit and actually worship Him in a spiritual way that they never could. But the other one, truth, shows me the attitude. It's sincerely, without pretense, purely. That's what the Lord's looking for. He's looking for those that will worship Him in truth. In other words, I'm not holding anything back. I'm letting my heart be fully on display, which is why it looks clamorously foolish and like a madman sometimes, because our heart should be so filled with excitement, so full of a heart that loves God, that you actually have to physically would restrain yourself from being as demonstrative. Amen. And that's what too many people have done. So it's getting your heart full, so it's doing it truly. So to me, that clear part shows God wants our praise to be in truth. He wants it to be sincerely, without hypocrisy, without pretense, and just, this is the way it is. And I'm not worried about what anybody else thinks. It's for an audience of one. I've told this story, but when I first came to the church, I was leading worship. Y'all should thank God for your worship team today. That's not what we're doing anymore. But you know something? I'd have people come to me and say, I don't like that song, Pastor. And I'd turn around and say, it wasn't for you in the first place. And I'm not trying to be mean when I say that, but the fact is, the praise time is for the Lord. It's not for us. So to me, it's more about, what does God like? Right? I mean, that's really the better question. It's not what my religious conscience likes or what I've personally, my soul likes. It's, what does God like? And then I start doing it His way. And I call that vertical worship. And that's why I love what Brian and Cameron do. Because we get vertical worship here. Let's give them a hand clap for that. Where it's to Him. It's not us singing about all this other stuff. It's about Him. And telling Him who He is. Telling Him what He's done. Celebrating Him in truth. Which would be in the Word too, right? Because the Word is truth. So it needs to be clear. But the next thing was this. I like this one. To shine. Halal means to shine. Now, I want to show you one other thing. There's another psalm that I want us to read real quick. Debbie, I think it's Psalm 148. Yeah, Psalm 148. I want you to notice something. This is another very foundational thing about praise that's important. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His host. Now, those are describing things that actually, in our mind, can praise Him by having mouths and tongues and actually able to say things. But notice what he goes on to say. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths. Fire and hail, snow and clouds are praising Him. Stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, And then he goes on to describe like kings and so forth. But you get the point, don't you? All of these things he just described are praising him. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I haven't ever heard a mountain praise God. I've never heard a frog praise the Lord. Well, maybe that ribbit is praising the Lord. I don't know. But I haven't necessarily heard any praise coming out of some of these other created things. And you know what I think is a real good lesson to learn right here? One of the ways you praise the Lord is with your life. Not just your words, but with your life. Let me give you an example. How many of you have ever gone to the mountains? And during this beautiful time of year, where the leaves are changing colors, we were driving through Atlanta, we were up there, and they had different trees than we had here, and it was beautiful. Shannon kept mentioning all that and talking about that. And have you ever responded when seeing some of the beauty of God's creation with something like this? God, you are so amazing. You are so awesome. God, you created this for us. You are great and greatly to be praised. What just happened there? Those created things solicited praise for the Lord from you. I wonder if my life, if your life, can also be things that solicit praise from other people. When people look at you, do they thank God? When they look at you, do they give God glory? Say, man, God, you did a good work with that one right there. I mean, this is why the Apostle Paul did this a lot of time with all his churches, didn't he? He was constantly thanking the Lord for all of these. Andrew said this weekend when we were up there, he said, man, I hadn't done that. I'm certainly, when I think of a lot of different people, I'm not thanking God for them. But our lives should really be something that is bringing out praise towards God. So one of the ways you and I can praise the Lord is by living out everything He said you can be, all that you are, and letting praise come to Him as a result of that. That's the shining part of praise, which means to give light. So when you look at, you should be praising God for the sun. You should be praising God for this rain we've been getting. How many of you know that? We should be praising God for all these different things. And this is part of our employment of praise. We're constantly doing these things. Oh, hallelujah. This is to shine. But like we saw, this shining describes what? Boasting. Amen. Raving, which is to speak out things in an extravagant, wild way. Amen. That's what he's describing right here, and this is what we are called to do. And so what that describes to us is, it's kind of the example I like to always use about it. It's kind of like the closest thing you can see of how people do that. I like to sometimes talk about how we do it with our grandchildren. Right? I don't have any grandchildren. I know I might look that old, but I don't have any grandchildren. But I praise Levi. I do. In fact, I've had to kind of restrain it a little bit because I don't want to embarrass him too much, which I'm doing right now. Because I'm proud of him. Because my heart is full of him. So I will praise him to him and to others. Amen. So what does it really all boil down to? It's all about the heart. That's what the Lord wants. I remember the one time the Lord had told me, I was watching football games all day on a Saturday. And, that's my little thing I like to do. I was watching football games, and I was watching game after game after game. You can watch games all day on Saturday if you want. And I remember that evening I went out, and I was walking. And the Lord said, you weren't loving me with all your heart today. And let me make something very clear today. We think, like if I were to ask you, how many of you love the Lord with all your heart? Probably everybody's hands would raise. Very few people love the Lord with all their heart. Because when you talk about all your heart, we're talking, radical people will call you radical if something's got all your heart, right? And it's not hard to see what's kind of in the heart during that time, right? So what it really boils down to then is God just wants all of your heart when it comes to the praise. And it doesn't matter how technically correct you do it. Do you say better words than other people? The Lord's not impressed with your verbiage and vocabulary. He's impressed with your heart, though. And what He loves is when your full heart is given over to Him in praise. That's what He wants. Amen. So it's all about the heart, and it gets back to this place to where we become like children, to where God's fully got everything on the inside of you, to where He's what you think about, He's what you talk about, He's what you get excited about, He's what you act clamorously foolish about, He's what you shine about, He's what you boast about, He's what you praise about, because it's about the heart. Let me close with this today. I remember, I want to tell you a story of something that happened with me one time, because I think sometimes people get locked up in thinking that they can't, that they're doing certain things wrong. They're saying certain things wrong. I remember I was working at a Christian bookstore in Athens, and one of my job responsibilities was to take the money down to the bank. And we were in a storefront, and the bank was actually in Walmart. And so I'd walk down there, and I had, you know, those little zipper bags, like bank bags, you know what I'm talking about? They're made with sturdier material. And I just had that thing, and I was like, I had it by the zipper on the corner and was just flinging it around. Walking down the sidewalk and just, you know, I'm not using a lot of wisdom. I'm not saying you need to do something like this. I'm just saying my head wasn't where it needed to be necessarily on that. But at the same time, I remember I was just thinking about it, and then I just kind of imagined that somebody would come to me and say, Trey, you need to be a little more leery of doing that because somebody can rob you. They might think you got a lot of money in there, and they might actually do something. And my response, and I'm imagining this conversation on the inside of me, and my response was, yeah, but you should see all the angels around me. You should see the divine protection that's on my life. And I said it kind of like two snaps and a twist kind of attitude. Some of you old people don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm just saying, there was just a little bit of a matter-of-factness about it, right? And I remember my heart kind of hurt me a little bit on that. I was like, is that pride, Lord? Is that wrong? And after I asked that question, I had like a little downtime at work, and my Bible, I had my Bible out, and it just kind of fell open to a verse. I want to show you this. It's in the book of Jeremiah. Let me find where it's at real quick. I'm not sure what chapter. Good old Jeremiah. Yeah, chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, we're going to look at verses 23 and 24. My Bible falls open to this. And if you can see, any of you out there, you can see I like to highlight my Bible and write my Bible. And this happens to be one of the parts of my Bible where I only got one section that's highlighted. And it's this one that I'm about to read to you. So my eyes obviously rested on that. And this is what the Lord said. He says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. Now, let me just comment on that real quick. What's that saying? If you're a wise person, don't brag. The word glory means to brag or boast. Don't brag or boast about how smart you are. If you're a strong, mighty person, don't go around bragging about how strong and mighty you are. And if you happen to have some substance in your life, you got some wealth, don't go around bragging and boasting about how much stuff you got. But notice what he says next. But let him who glories, brags or boasts, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. See, what the Lord was showing me on that day was, Trey, anytime you're boasting, bragging, and glorying in me, it's never wrong. When you understand and know what I'll do, It's never inappropriate. Now, if you're bragging and boasting about what you got, how smart you are, how strong you are in yourself, then that is wrong. But if you're going to do it about the Lord, He actually delights in this. And that was what the Lord shared with me concerning that. It kind of reminds me of when David showed up on the scene, when Goliath was breathing those threats. Do y'all remember the story? David shows up, and everybody's hiding in the tents. They're fearful. They're scared. And David shows up and says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of Israel?" And what was he accused of when he did this? Pride and insolence. His brother said, "We know the pride and insolence of your heart. We know what you're just thinking, you're all that. You think you're better than all of us," and all that kind of stuff. I wonder how many Christians have been accused of that before. See, it's not that somebody who knows who they are in Christ and knows what God will do for them thinks they're better than other people. But it is that they might know the Lord more than most people. And there's a confidence. And that's what David did. He had confidence. Amen. He knew who God was, and people didn't understand it. We need to be more like that, to where when we understand who our God is, we're going to boast about Him. We're going to rave about Him. We're going to celebrate Him, and it might be misunderstood by a lot of different people. People could come in here in about 15 minutes or so and watch us praising the Lord here, and they're going to say, "These people are crazy. Who do they think they are?" But it's not for them. Amen. Who's it for? Him. It's for God to be glorified. It's for Him to be worshipped. It's for Him to be served. That's what the Lord delights in. When we learn to halal the Lord, to where we are clear in truth, sincerely, and without hypocrisy, praising Him in the right way, where we're shining before the Lord, first of all, in our own lives. Amen. I heard a preacher say one time, these people were jumping up and down during praise. He said, "Jumping's good. Jump. Dancing's good. Dance. Just walk straight when you hit the ground." What I mean? In other words, don't just do it for show in front of other people. Let your life be praise. Right? But at the same time, let it all hang out. I mean, get sincerely into your worship time and praise God with all that's in you, to where you're at now. You're shining. You're acting clamorously foolish. You're acting even like a madman. People aren't going to get it. But again, it's for the Lord. And one of the ways I encourage people to do this, just get away from people. If you feel like, if you're worried about how bad you sing or how bad you think you sing, Levi thinks I sing bad. Well, then I just need to move myself away from some people. Praise God. Amen. Because why? I'm not going to let somebody else's criticism and possible judgments keep me from the blessings that I will get when I praise the Lord with all my heart. Amen.